Good morning. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah at chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, we'll be reading from verse 1 through 6. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Let's just pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We just pray that you would help us to be like clay in the Master's hand. Just pray that as Pastor Joseph opens your word to us this morning, that you would reach down and touch our hearts, and that you would show us exactly how would you want to shape our lives and to use us, just like this potter used the clay to form exactly what he wanted to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. While I was preparing for this message, all week I was thinking of examples that I have witnessed, I have seen of changes. Changes in people, changes in things that looked so ugly, and yet when someone walked on them, they became so beautiful and so effective. I remembered the master's touch with that old violin that was being auctioned, and no one would care to buy it for a dollar. And then when this old man came forward and picked up that violin and played the nicest tune ever possible, that old violin that wouldn't sell for a dollar sold for many, many hundreds of dollars. And then I remembered, my mind went back to my childhood when I remembered my grandfather back in Athens, Greece. He had a brick factory. They used to produce bricks and things. And they decided to produce also pots. And they built this big oven-looking thing. And my grandpa, being such a specialist, when it came to clay, he would go in the fields and he would feel the clay or the dust, and he would smell it. He would take some saliva and put it, and I would say, what is he doing? They all look the same to me, but he knew exactly what to choose. And then they would bring this ugly looking sort of stuff and mix it with water, and then you would see some of the nicest pots built. There are people who believe that people don't ever change. And some say that even God cannot change some of them. There is a great big debate whether some of the prisoners we have will ever be rehabilitated and change and become people who can then reintegrate into our society. But I have witnessed people who have experienced complete transformation in their lives. And here I will use the beautiful word that I love. The Greek word for transformation is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis means to change completely the appearance and everything. The impossible became possible when they allowed themselves to become like clay in the potter's hand. God speaking to Jeremiah and through him to those in Judah and Jerusalem said, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. And then God spoke again to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18 verses 1 to 16. And he said, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And I would like to read these few verses again. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And I would add, O human being, you and I. Why did God tell Jeremiah to go to the potter's house? Because God wanted him to see the potter at work forming a pot. I mean, God could have said, you know, as there is this potter down there, down the street, and he is doing this, and he could have given him the message. But actually, God wanted Jeremiah to go and then have a look. Have a look how he does it. And probably he was even encouraged to touch some of the clay, the ugly looking clay. And Jeremiah did away. And often God says, go there and have a look what they're doing, what needs there are. And we say, yeah, I know, I've heard, I read about them. Or God says, go and visit that hospital and see how you can help that person. Well, I've been praying for that person. And what God says is, listen to me and obey. Obedience. God is not looking in for perfect people because he won't find any. God is looking for people who are willing to do what he tells them to do. The scene gave a powerful message to Jeremiah's time and ours today. The process of molding involves action that can be seen almost violent at times. The potter must put some force, pressure upon the clay if it is to become what the potter's vision is about this lump of clay. A lump of clay is useless until the potter works on it. And once again, I remembered the workers at my grandpa's factory. They would take that ugly-looking thing and put it on a very, very flat surface. And they would hit it like that and they would press on it. And they would look for little stones and pebbles. And they would sort of work on it for a while before they start reshaping it or shaping, giving it shape. And I believe that I, as a human being, needed to go through that pressure cooker, if you wish, and then go through the oven to be able to become a better person. Not a perfect, but a better person. A lump of clay is useless until the potter works on it. In verse 4 we read, but the pot was shaping from the clay, that was shaping from the clay, was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot. And again, we are men and women who have been marred, some people call us crockpots. Okay, fine. We may be crockpots, but we're not finished yet. The potter is not finished. We are cracked before it's cooked, and so he can remold us. He can put some more water and soften us up a little, and then put more pressure and look for little things that may hinder the beauty or the process of becoming a beautiful pot. And often we complain and we don't want to go through that. We want God to change us, to make us useful, to make us good, and to become fruitful, but we only want God to do it on our conditions and not His. And the Bible says, how can the clay say to its potter, don't do this, don't do that. I know better than you know. The clay is a piece of clay. That is a picture of us. We all need a lot of work. We have imperfections. We need to be reshaped, remolded, changed. In fact, the Christian life is a life of transformation and change. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into the likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." It says, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory. And I believe that every time He put pressure, the potter put pressure and make it softer and started molding it and started reshaping it, He could see something in His mind. He could see a vision of that piece of clay becoming something beautiful, something useful. And I believe while we are being shaped and reshaped and worked on, we don't like ourselves, and people may not even like us the way we look, but when He is done the work and when He is through with us, then people will look and see the glory, His glory. And they will see how we have been transformed. But there is a difference between the clay on the potter's table and a person on God's table. And let me explain. Because I've heard all kinds of doctrines and theologies and explanations and interpretations and arguments about how we are useless and how it's up to God, and then the others say, no, it's all up to us, and others say, but the Bible is the only truth, and we should go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says and what the Word of God says. Yes, the potter chose that clay. Let me explain. The clay that a human potter works on has no way of responding to the potter's call or placing itself on the potter's table and mercy to be changed. Just like the lost silver coin of the woman in the parable Jesus gave of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost prodigal son. The silver coin could not respond to the calls of the woman, and so this woman searched and found it. In a similar way, the potter brings the clay and puts it on the table to start the work of transformation. And again, let me just remind you the story Jesus said to them, or at least that parable. He gave the three examples of being lost. One was lost naturally. One was lost without even knowing that was lost. And the other one was lost because he chose to be lost. So this woman could not have called the coin and said, where are you? Where are you? Although I've heard people call their cell phone. Oh, you can call your cell phone. That's a bad example. But, they would call something they've lost. Where are you? Where are you? But no, that's only wishful thinking that thing will respond. But the woman searched and looked and found that coin. That's how it is with the potter. The potter goes and looks around to find the best possible soil to make that clay that will eventually become a beautiful pot. And he forms it and reforms it. Now, the prodigal son had a choice. He could stay where he was, feeding and living with the pigs, or he could return to the father's house and change his way of life and allow the father to help him change back to what he was and even better. God is the potter. We are the clay. God the potter is waiting to see and hear the willingness of the clay, us, to be molded and transformed to a precious vessel. God has a plan for everyone who responds. The first part of that plan is salvation. We come to Him as a lump of clay ready to be transformed. And again, I don't want to go into the arguments that people have and waste their time and energy and books and papers about God's election, predestination, free will, and all these things have their own message to give. And yet we use them and abuse them to make our own points and give our own messages. The truth of the matter is, Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will not reject." And Jesus said, "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son for whosoever believes in Him, not to perish, but shall have everlasting life." That is, whoever believes in Him. Like the prodigal son, we have heard the message. The world has heard the message, have been invited to the great supper, and it's up to them. The potter is there waiting to form, reform, mend, fix, and save people. So the first part of that plan is salvation. Then to be able to see the master's plan for us, we need to fully surrender our own selfish plans to the master's potter. To the master potter. I don't know about you, but I did have and I still have some selfish desires that I have to wrestle with and fight against. That's why Paul said, "I fought the good fight and I finished the course and kept my faith." Because he was wrestling with some things that would upset his mind and his soul. So we have to surrender our selfishness to the master potter and say, "You are the potter, I am the clay. You know how to do it, I don't. You know how to form me and reform me and change me, I can't. I've tried, I've done everything I could to become a better father, a better son, better daughter, better wife, better friend, and I can't. Every time I open my mouth, I mess up things. And, you know, what can I do, God? I need a master to do it." Now, while I was talking, I just saw the chairs here, and I took it for granted. These chairs, I'm using them for the first time. They were old, broken chairs. These chairs, underneath there were things hanging and big nails sticking out. And then two people in our congregation that asked me not to mention their names said, "We will have them fixed, Pastor." And they had them fixed. And I came in and they are so new that I didn't realize these were the old, broken down, filthy looking chairs. That could have been me. That is me. I was like the old chair. But the master's touch touched me, changed me. He still is in the process. The third thing is, and as the clay sits on the potter's table to be molded and transformed without complaining or arguing with the potter, so should we be while God is shaping us into the individual vessels that He wants us to become and not tell Him how and what to do with us. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm praying and I'm about to pray about something and all of a sudden I stop because I know what the consequences of that prayer may be. You can't just say, "Oh Lord, make me humble, humble me." Have you ever prayed that? Anyone has prayed? You've prayed that, eh? You know you were looking for trouble, eh? Because when you say to God, "Make me humble or humble me," He can do it, but it may be painful. It is very difficult to completely surrender our will and everything and say, humble me. So we pray and say, Lord, please help me to be humble. Hey, that sounds better. Help me to be humble. I have something to do with that. But actually, if not for His touch to help us deal with pride, we can't do it. Spurgeon said, we are literally clay in the potter's hand. This is and should be a humbling thought. However, we often think of ourselves as much more than ordinary clay. In fact, sometimes we don't even think of ourselves as clay at all. Instead, we see ourselves more in the role of the potter than the clay. Have you ever put yourselves in the place of the potter rather than the clay? Well, we do it often. Please, Lord, help me do this. Would you please, first of all, give me this. And so when you give me this, I can do that. And when I do that, then this will happen. And then, you know, God, great things will happen. First of all, give me a good voice. And then give me wisdom. Help me. I've prayed many times to be able to read better and to speak better. And God says, no, I'm not going to do that because I know what's going to happen if I do that. And so you'll stumble and you'll make mistakes to just keep you where you should be, not where you want to be. He is the master. He is the potter. We are the clay. God can choose to mold us to something other than what we had expected or wanted. As the potter works on the clay and sees how the clay responds, he continues molding and transforming it to a special and useful vessel. Unlike the clay on the potter's table, literally speaking, with us and God is a little different. We must respond, and we do respond over, either by saying yes or no, and that hinders the master potter's work in our lives. As the potter walks on the clay and sees how the clay responds, he continues molding it. Now the potter uses pressure, water, and heat. I was just reading what was the importance of water in the clay. And someone, a potter, explained and said, if you put too much water, it will be too soft. And you can't shape it. It will be just like jello. Now, if you don't put enough water, it will be just hard to shape. It needs to have the right amount of water and the right amount of elasticity should be there for the potter to do it. And so we don't know, the clay does not know how much water it needs, but the master potter knows how much of water we need. And so the Holy Spirit works on us. Pressure to mold and reshape the clay. Water to soften it and make it pliable. Heat to make it stronger. When pressure is applied on the clay by the potter, his steady hands are protecting it and shaping it, shaping the clay. And I thought about it. He does not only push, he protects that clay. His hands are like that, pushing with one finger inside and protecting with the other fingers. So that clay, that piece of clay becomes a beautiful vessel because the master's fingers and hands knew how to manipulate and how to work that piece of clay and make it become a beautiful vessel. Pressure is needed to hold it together. The other finger has to pressure it from inside out and the other fingers from outside in. That's how it is with us. When you are experiencing pressures and problems, and you think you are about to break down into little pieces, just remember that the Master's steady hands are on you, perfecting you and completing you. The potter uses water to make the clay more flexible and obedient to his will and plan. We obey God by responding to his conditions. Salvation, baptism, holy living. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we read, therefore, Jesus' last instructions were, the potter's last instructions, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And while I was writing this, I said, some people may misunderstand these comments, may think because this is a Baptist church, or we call it a Baptist church, it's not a Baptist church actually, it's a church. It's a gathering place of believers, but it's called Baptist, and we do have the the very basic principles of the Baptist denominations, beliefs. And then I said, people may think that I'm asking them to become Baptist by being baptized. But actually, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there were no Baptists. There was John the Baptist who had lost his head, actually, was. And then the disciples were baptizing. A baptism is something that it was not invented by the Baptists, but it was these are the instructions of Jesus. And today you have churches who baptize a little baby, so that baby will become a Christian and not go to hell. God forbid for just characterizing God in such a way as if a little baby will go to hell unless we pour some water on it, sprinkled with water, and God knows how to shape that life. And then you have others that don't baptize at all, and others will, all kinds of things. But what the Bible says is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was and still is the best example we have about baptism. He didn't have to be baptized. He was. And people say, some people have commented and said, well, yeah, these they were baptizing people because they were pagans. And so from paganism, they had to be transferred or transformed into Christianity. And the only way was through water baptism. But actually, Jesus was not a pagan. Jesus was the Son of God. He is God, and yet he went through that. So we have here salvation, baptism, and holy living. When the transformation has taken place and the clay now is a precious vessel, the potter puts it in the kiln furnace to make it strong and less fragile. That must be very painful for the clay. I mean, do you know, I don't know what temperature exactly there should be, but it's hot. It's burning hot. And you have to stay, that thing has to stay there until it's cooked well and becomes hard. Well, so it is with the believers. We become stronger when the heat is turned up on us. Sometimes I complain and you complain and we all complain that why am I going through this, Lord? I'm your follower. I wanted only to do good and I wanted to help. And here I'm not going to my hockey game and I'm going to the Bible study and yet I'm going through a difficult time. And we complain and we complain and we argue with God. And God says, please be quiet and wait a little. I'm trying to make you stronger. And I'm trying to make you more durable and not so fragile. I would like to close with the words of A Chorus by Espinosa Eddy. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. Make it, may I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you for your plans about our lives, and yet we often run away from your plans and run away from your table, and we want to do things our own way. Forgive us. Lord, be with us. While we are leaving this room, may we be filled with your holy presence. And Lord, if I, as your messenger, said something that was wrong and not according to your will, please erase it from our own mind. And only may only your words and your message stay with us. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us, restore us, reform us, and revive us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.